Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ sanghaṃ namassāmi. So I thought to say something about anxiety, how to practice with anxiety, and what anxiety is in Buddhist terms, where it comes from. And actually this word can, you can see that this covers a whole lot of different mind states in Buddhist terms, that there's not just one kind of anxiety. The Buddha points at anxiety and restlessness as a force in the mind, one of the hindrances to seeing clearly and to peace of mind, anxiety and restlessness. So we tackle this one first, that the anxiety that is associated with restlessness, and a discontent. So there's discontent in the mind, then the mind's not settling, and the result is this kind of mixture of anxiety and restlessness. So this is quite a characteristic kind of restlessness, a clear type of restlessness. The way we would, various ways of tackling this, which I've gone into in one of the other talks. So I won't go into so much about that now. A lot of them are just ways of calming the mind. So this can be the simple way, that when the mind becomes anxious, then one just doesn't think about what you're anxious about. You go to your meditation object and calm the mind, and then go back to it. Obviously, you know, the issue or the thing that we're worried about doesn't go away, and then we go back to it, but we go back to it with a calmer mind. So try and look at it with a calmer mind, or a wiser mind, clearer mind. So often with anxiety involves a lot of thinking, it's good to have a very simple way to deal with it, otherwise we can just start thinking again and get lost in thinking again, get anxious about being anxious, getting a spin like that. But notice our anxiety may be telling us something. So if it's linked with restlessness, then it may be that we're not happy with our situation. There's something there that we're not happy with. We may need to change. So if we don't change whatever it is, then we're not getting to the root cause of the anxiety, and it's just going to keep coming back. So this one takes us on to other kinds of anxiety, which are less superficial. That's talking about a more superficial kind or manifestation of anxiety. There are much deeper causes for anxiety, uncertainty. So Ajahn Chah, his main teaching, one of the main teachings of the Buddha, was to point out the uncertainty of all phenomenon. And if this is apparent to us, but we're not really consciously recognizing it, then what will be in our minds is anxiety. Or to put it another way, if we delight in the things of the world, then we will also have fear or anxiety over those things of the world, over those things. we'll be worried about losing them, or we'll be afraid of pain if we enjoy pleasure, then we're afraid of pain. So the solution here is to change our way of looking at things. So the first, divide the old solutions, Buddhist solutions to things, we can divide into two kinds: calming the mind or seeing clearly. So in terms of anxiety, I've just talked about the solution calming the mind. So the second one would be to see things more clearly. And if one sees things more clearly, then one will be more interested, delight in the things of the mind, or the things of the spirit or heart, rather than the things of the world. The things of the world are unreliable and uncertain, changing. So if we take refuge in these things or attach to these things, then we will just, the result will be anxiety or fear. Whereas if there isn't this kind of fear, then there can be alternatively a lot of courage. We maybe need to test ourselves out in this, in little ways. So we see the things that we worried about, we can look at them again and see how significant they are, and test things out. So say we worried about our diet or something, we're worried about what we're eating, then we can try out our attachments in terms of food, say, and just eat whatever. As we're worried about getting what we like or want or think is good for us, then we can just test that attachment by just eating what we're offered. This is the kind of thing that a monk does. We don't really mind what food we get, and we don't worry, stop not worrying about food so much. And we can get a taste for this kind of way of operating. But instead of taking responsibility or having preferences, then we don't have so many preferences. We see the opportunity to renounce, to let go, in one way or another. Also, we're anxious about our holiday. Is it going to go well? Is it going to be what we want? And this is a symptom of not being able to let go. We can't just let go and let it be the way it's going to be. We have a lot of expectations. We're delighting in the sensory world, have a lot of expectations of it. Then we're going to be anxious that it's not going to come up to our expectations. We don't have to have those expectations. If those things aren't so important to us anymore. Which is not to say that something else can become important. Something else will become important. Things of the spirit will become important. So we enter into a different world, a different set of priorities. One which can be quite difficult, and we can have anxiety over that as well. We can have anxiety over our spiritual lives. This doesn't go so deep. It's more of a superficial thing. We might have anxiety about in the monastery that we're living in whether the standards are right. Can we change the standard? Can we make it right? Or not? Is the Dhamma correct? Is the teaching right? These can be our responsibilities as a spiritual practitioner to try and work at these things and do our best. But if we can't change things, if we can't move things in a good way, then maybe we have to go somewhere else. You know, we have to have the courage to pick up our robes and bowl and go somewhere else. Or just walk away, you know, and go out of faith. So many great monks have done this. You know, they become dissatisfied or discontent with their situation, and then they have to take a big risk, a big chance, and walk away, and sometimes risking their lives. That's the kind of courage that the spiritual life can demand of us. We just have to walk away from a bad situation, unwise or unskillful situation. And if there's not the same attachment to the body, then there's no fear. You know, one can walk away, one can just walk off into the wilderness, so to speak, and there's no fear. There can be a sense of joy, actually, a sense of lightness, living lightly. And then there you are with your alms bowl, and whether people give you food or not, you know, it's up to them. Maybe you get it, maybe you don't. It's living without attachment. You know, you're not suicide, but it's not hanging on, you know, it's a living on faith. So that's what we try to do in monastic life. In lay life we can have the same kind of attitude. We can learn to let go things that we're worried about, and just let it go the way it's going to go. We do our best, of course. You know, you do your best to work out your holiday, for your family maybe. You know, you go away with your family, then you do your best to see that, you know, you go to a nice place and people enjoy themselves. But you don't worry about it. You know, you're able to go with the flow. Meditation can help us to do this, to just keep letting go into the situation and accept it. Now, once we've done our best to find the best situation. So this is a two-pronged approach, isn't it? It's another example of this Buddhist attitude: do your best and then accept whatever happens, happens. If we haven't done our best, then our mind's going to nag us. If we haven't done our best to find the best situation for our spiritual practice, our lives, the most fertile ground we can find, as Buddha would say, then there will be an anxiety there, difficulties there that we won't be able to resolve. We may need to change the situation, go somewhere else, do something else, give up our job, you know, these kinds of things. Let's be willing to do these things and change our job to be one that's more conducive to Dhamma. So often people come to the monastery and they say, well, how do I practice in this kind of job? How do I practice in that kind of job? And they're very fixed in their idea, you know, of what their life is and what their job is and who they are and where they're going. They're not really willing to change an awful lot. They're wanting to just work at the mind. So they come to a monastery and say, well, how do I work at my mind in this situation? This isn't really Buddhism. It's just not a Buddhist approach. This is the Buddhist approach would be to find the best situation, to find the right livelihood. Is we can't solve all these things inside, and we can't be doing unskillful things and have a peaceful mind. Can't be living an unskillful life and have a peaceful mind. This is not possible. And our minds are a product of of the conditions around us, and cause and effect. So, you know, we can't have our cake and eat it. If, you know, we think that we can have our cake and eat it, we can have all the sense pleasures of the senses and have a peaceful mind. This is just not possible. The more we delight in the things of the senses, the more our mind is drawn out into these. Yet there's something else we can delight in. So anxiety then, a very important one to watch and be aware of. There may be the superficial anxiety linked to restlessness, a sense of restlessness. It may need to just calm the mind and learn how to do that. Or is a more radical solution necessary, we have to work that out. Look at our situation and see where the anxiety is coming from. And perhaps ultimately, it's the anxiety of having a body. In this uncertain situation, vulnerable situation that we find ourselves in, and we can't be sure about what's going to happen next. And then we can face this one when we're ready. We need to face this one when we're ready. Anxiety over the body. And we need to see that we're not the body. The body is not me, not mine. To see like that, then we don't have concern over it and care for it as best we can in the situation that we find ourselves, but we don't worry about it. This is the balance, it's a kind of balancing act. So a few words there about anxiety, and for those for your reflection.